This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Shaoning. In the studio with me this morning is Tan Chen Li. In an undisclosed location is Philip C. It is Wednesday, 7:05. It is also, of course, the 16th of March. In the meantime, let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
In US, Dow was up 1.8%, S&P 500 up 2.1%, Nasdaq up 2.9%. Asian markets, very exciting, Nikkei up 0.2%, Hang Seng down 5.7%, Shanghai Composite down 5%, and STI up 0.1%, FVM KLCI down 0.7%.
So help, we need someone to make sense of all this. And to help us do that is actually Jack Guzzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Good morning, Jack. Now, equity markets, let's start with the US. Clearly very volatile. One day down 2% for Nasdaq and then another day up 3%. Why do you think markets are behaving like this? I mean, what do you think is the catalyst for each market movement? And what do we do with the fact that the FOMC is meeting later tomorrow?
Yeah. I mean, volatility is certainly the notion that we're going to see, and I think we're going to continue to see. I mean, there's a lot to grapple with. There is a lot to grapple with for the market at the moment. So we've obviously got a war in Ukraine and what's going to go on there. You've got, you know, energy prices jumping up and down. And like you just said, we've got an FOMC meeting coming up where we most likely will get an interest rate hike. So investors, traders, market actors are dealing with a lot of news. You know, there's the fear of recession here. I think the R word is clearly front and center right now. And you're dealing with, you know, a lot of geopolitical events. So I think volatility will continue to be part of what we're going to see throughout March and April until we start to see some clarity over some of the biggest issues coming forward. I mean, you know, we most likely the Fed's going to go, but the question is, well, how hard will they go and how many rate hikes will they have? You know, how long will this war persist in Europe and what effect will that have on, you know, still the largest trading bloc across the globe? So we have a lot to digest, and it's daily, it's hourly, it's minute by minute. And I think the volatility is going to continue going forward.
But Jack, are you buying on the dips or are you just keeping cash at the moment?
Still reserve. So, you know, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago on the show and last month. So we've still got a big element in cash. We, you know, did put an allocation to some consumer staples on Monday to help hedge against what we think is a pursued inflation risk in the market. But we still remain very heavily in cash, waiting out this market volatility at the moment.
Let's move our focus to Asia. So Hang Seng Index took a dive yesterday due to possible sanctions on China over their relationship to Russia, dropping close to 6%. Is it time to bottom fish?
Yeah, well, I mean, what a week for China, hasn't it been? I mean, what a week in the midst of, you know, a year and a half of a sell down in Chinese equities. I mean, there is a lot to unpack here right now, and investors are doing it in real time. So just to give your listeners a little bit of a recap, we saw the threatening of delisting of ADRs last week. We now have a threat of sanctions against China for their, you know, proposed support for Russia and Ukraine, or the proposal that they were going to provide them with weapons. Yeah, there's a lot here to unpack. Look, I think it's an overblown. I think it's a sum of all fears that have really hit, particularly Chinese markets in general. But there's a lot of issues. I mean, the threatening of the ADR seems a lot more real than we thought it was going to be 3 to 6 months ago. I don't think the Chinese are going to wilt on this in terms of turning over ordering reports for some of their companies that are listed on US exchanges. And the matter of the fact here is the Chinese believe there are state secrets involved in these ordering reports on these financials, and I don't think they're going to give them up. So I think we're going to see this continued threat against some of these delistings and possibly happen. I mean, we saw five stocks being highlighted last week. As a, you know, someone that's followed Chinese equities, has been a bigger and biggest big investor in Chinese equities for quite a long time. You know, I want to be in Hong Kong listed Chinese equities. I think that's a key notion that investors should do over the next coming weeks, or should have done by now. At the moment, there's just too much outstanding news to be bottom fishing, but I do believe the sell down is overcooked. Valuations do look quite healthy at this point in time. And what we've got to remember is this is still a fast growing economy. It's one of the fastest growing large economies in the world. And companies like Baba, Meishuan, and Tencent are going to give you growth over time. But this is a wait and see environment at the moment, and it could get worse before it gets better.
So you're not even tempted by the fact that Tencent, like you mentioned, Alibaba, are close to 30% down on a year-to-date basis, and you can still see the big picture in terms of and being very bright, but you would suggest investors, you know, wait?
I'm very tempted to answer your question, but you know, I'm still waiting to see. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. To be honest with you, if you asked me 7 months ago, 8 months ago, was there a threat? What was the likeliness of Baba? Let's just take Baba because it's one of the biggest being delisted from the US. I would have said 1 in 100. Now that is, you know, more than 50% right now. So that's the fear. And then, you know, would US investors be stopped from buying Chinese stocks on US markets? Again, I would have said that was very, very unlikely. Now that's looking quite likely. So that's what we need to gauge right now. You know, these things have moved forward so quickly. And that's what's leading me to hold on at this point in time. Sorry to interrupt you. You were about to say something.
No. Yeah. So you were also saying about so many news that's coming out of China. And one of the factors was actually the COVID situation over there and also the shutting down of Shenzhen and all that. So we want to talk a little bit about pandemic and its effect on food delivery company like Meituan. You know, so it has grown very quickly but remained unprofitable. Why do you think the pandemic situation is not really doing good for the business?
I mean, you know, they obviously did very well during the pandemic. And, you know, China has been out of a pandemic for quite a long time. And now, obviously, we're seeing prolonged shutdowns. I mean, this is a very competitive market. And it takes time to do well and to run a profit on them. I mean, Meituan is more than a food delivery business. But I do think, you know, you're going to have to see some consolidation in that business there. They have been hit with some regulatory effects in the last couple of weeks. I mean, there was a movement by the regulators in China just 2 weeks ago on capping margins they would make off sellers on the platform. So, you know, they are more than a food delivery business, but these are, you know, really thin businesses that require a lot of volume and require a lot of players being, you know, moved out, you know, kind of a winner takes all type of business. And then they're suddenly seeing that effect. But I think this is a really good business long term. It's just going to take a little bit more time for them to eke out those margins in food delivery.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at BFS Group. Being still cautious about the market, even though, you know, let's say valuations have come down and certain tech names like Tencent and Alibaba have plunged more than 30% on a year-to-date basis, but the outlook still remains slightly murky. Philip, what were your key takeaways?
I mean, it's very interesting, you know, contrasting, you know, the conversation we had yesterday. He's still very, like, let's not put any, it's no time for bottom fishing. There's no opportunities yet. Whereas what we heard yesterday was US, I think, might have hit its bottom. Whereas in China, I think there's a consensus that there's still a lot more unraveling happening there.
So yesterday's commentator was Joe Quinlan, who's chief of strategy at the US Trust Bank of America. Slightly more optimism, I think, for US markets, partially because there is no policy issue there. And there's no threat of sanctions on American companies, unlike Chinese companies. But meanwhile, one commodity which has come under pressure has been oil. So oil now, Brent crude, has dipped below $100 a barrel. I'm looking at Bloomberg. It's currently $99.91. It has dropped 6.54% overnight. And this is on the back of Iran talks that may resume.
And last week, we were looking at close to $140 per barrel. And not just because of Iran talks that may resume, there's also intensifying lockdowns in China that introduce risk to the global demand. So futures in New York declined for a second session and closed $97 a barrel, while Brent settled at $100.
And I wonder how you manage all this volatility. It's incredible, you know, guys.
If you're an oil trader, you'd be sweating.
Yeah,
big time sweating. How do you do
big
this,
time
right?
Sweating. But it's damn difficult.
But I have to say, even if the Iran nuclear talk were to really take place, and it would just release about 100 million barrel of oil a day, but the Russian side of the supply is actually about 4 million of barrel of oil. So it's actually, I'm not sure if this small amount will be able to really...
Okay, I think a lot of it is sentiment. right? Mm-hmm. It's sentiment yes. more than the reality. So you have competing forces whereby you can see that maybe demand is going to come down under pressure a little bit because of the lockdown in China. So you know one part of the equation. But in terms of supply, I think that part is hard to determine. And because there's just so much noise, traders are just deciding to take some risk off and retreating from pushing oil prices any higher. Because even at 135, there, it is demand destructive anyway. So you can't push it beyond a certain price. So I think that's why market is now, you know, you see oil prices at $100 per barrel.
And I wonder why that's why, you know, if you go and hear the US narrative, there's so much frustration why we're not investing more in shale. And why is President Biden talking to all these autocratic regimes instead for oil supply? Perhaps it is this, right? It is a matter of perception here, this issue of demand and supply. And that's why he doesn't want to pull the lever on domestic oil production.
Yeah, partially also because even if you did say that you're going to increase shale production, it's not like the, you know, it's going to come out of the earth.
Exactly.
Like
exactly.
I heard it will take about 12 months.
Yeah, so not so easy. Plus also, at the end of the day, all countries are supposed to move towards renewable energy space. Mm-hmm. So you want to have energy security, but at what cost? Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.